Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte and special guest host Sarah Lane. Episode 87 for February 11th, 2009. Getting Things Done with David Allen. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by GoToMeeting, online meetings made easy. For a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting for your PC or Mac, visit GoToMeeting.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Sarah Lane in San Francisco.
Wait a minute. Who are you, Sarah Lane?
That's right, Leo. You
Hi,
know,
Sarah.
Amber MacArthur is a mommy.
She had a baby.
And she's a little busy, I think.
You know, it's kind of funny because she didn't tell anybody she was pregnant.
No.
No one knew.
No.
And she announced it last week on the show.
Right.
As it turns out, probably a good thing to do because she had the baby like immediately.
Yeah. Like the next day. Like a couple weeks early, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And she very graciously asked me if I would fill in for her for at least a couple of weeks because obviously she's got her hands full and she has like about 400 other projects too. I don't know how she does it. So I'm of course happy to.
Oh,
so
we're here thrilled. We're so thrilled that you could do it.
You know, internet is my thing, man. So this is like the best show ever.
So just for people who don't know who you are, and I don't think there are very many, but you were at the Screensavers, and that's kind of what you covered was cool internet stuff at the Screensavers.
Right.
And tips. You did a lot. You were the petite tipper. You did a lot of little like Windows tips and Mac tips and stuff like that.
Windows tips, Mac tips. Yeah, I did some reg edits for a while when I was trying to like impress boys. I went through a little bit of a reg edit phase. And then I kind of went over to the OS X side, and that's what I'm doing exclusively these days. Although I do try to keep up on the Windows.
Can I ask you, did it impress boys that you could do regedit hacks?
Oh, some of them. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes.
Okay, a new way to get guys.
Still get emails about that.
Yeah? Wow, that's interesting.
I know.
And then you went to L.A. and co-hosted the show with Kevin for a while. And
that's right.
That was at G4.
At G4. Started out as the fifth incarnation of the Screensavers, and then it became Attack of the Show.
Right. So you were there through the AOTS period as well.
I was, yes. Kevin Rose left. Then it was Kevin Pereira and myself. And he's still on the show.
With Olivia Munn, right?
With Olivia Munn, who replaced me when I left. And I actually don't get the show. So I don't ever see it because I just don't have that kind of a cable package. But
I get it. But I don't get it.
Yeah, right.
It's over my head. I'm afraid I'm too old and square to get it.
Yeah.
So then you did a really interesting, nutty kind of a thing. You dropped everything, your career in television.
I said, I'm out of here.
And you traveled the world for a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird. It's people always ask me, why did you do that? You know, you threw it all away. That's actually how they say it. And, I don't know. I don't have a good reason. I just, you know, I had the wanderlust and I had saved up some money and it just seemed like the right thing to do. And, you know, I don't regret it for a second.
Where did you go? I mean, 60 countries, 50, how many countries?
Oh no. Oh my gosh. No way. A year you think, oh my gosh, you could see the whole world in a year, but that's not even sort of true. I mean, the more you travel, the bigger the world actually gets. But I went to Greece, Turkey, Russia, Mongolia, China, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Indonesia, India, Brazil, and Argentina, with a stopover in Lima, Peru.
Which is completely out of the way.
Yeah, I know.
How awesome.
It was really fun, though. And
Your favorite place?
Favorite place? I always tell people, well, it's so hard to just pick one, but I think as far as kind of culture shock and beauty, I would say India, heavy on the culture shock.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely the most difficult place that I've ever backpacked in. But Lao is also, it's really neat. I mean, it's really, there's a lot of places that no one's really ever been still,
wow,
or very few. And you really feel like you're onto some, you've sort of been dropped into this really special place, with a different, you know, it's like you're in a different time. So yeah, I just love traveling. I mean, I can't wait to do it again someday.
Well, on this show, we're going to do some websites. I have an update Amber sent me, and I'm actually thrilled. We were looking around for a great guest to kick off the first Sarah Lane edition.
Woo!
And we got one. We were going to, Kevin Rose, Drew Curtis from FARC. We were thinking big names in the business. And who did we get? The biggest guru of productivity of them all, David Allen. The guy who wrote Getting Things Done.
GTD.
I'm thrilled. So he's going to join us in just a little bit by phone. So when he calls in, we'll just drop everything and say hi to David.
I hope David can help me organize my life.
Have you read the book?
Okay, I don't own the book. A lot of people you know what? I think I stole from somebody. I think I might actually have it in my bookcase.
Okay. Item number one, return book, buy own copy. Okay.
I know. See, I need his help. I need personal. It's like having a personal trainer. I want to hire David, take him to the gym with me and organize my life.
He's really great because the principle of it is that you cannot create, you cannot operate effectively, you cannot live happily if your mind is constantly wandering off to things you've got to get done.
Right.
He says, you know, in jiu-jitsu, they say you have to have a mind like water, where it's passive, it's sitting there, it's calm, but responds instantly to the pebble being dropped in it. And he said, you can't have mind like water if you're constantly thinking, I got to clean the garage. And he said, what happens is that all those items that we haven't done bug us at the times, the most opportune times, times we really couldn't do anything about it. I think about my garage all the time. I can't clean it right now.
Right.
So he says, job one is to get everything out of your mind. You make a big pile, a giant inbox of everything, everything that you need to do. Then you figure out where you need to be to get it done. So if it's clean the garage, you can't do it at the office. So you make sure you have context for all this stuff. And then you go through everything and you either delegate it, you defer it, you handle it if you can do it in a couple of minutes. It's a very logical, simple process that requires daily dumping of everything out of your mind so it's not there anymore. You have to put it in a trusted place. A lot of geeks like it because that's often a computer process.
Right.
And then you have to weekly review where you are, look at your projects. You also pay attention to where you are. And a lot of the software that does this, for instance, there's an iPhone application that's really good for this, OmniFocus, that knows where you are, right? Because the iPhone knows where you are and says, oh, well, you're next to the phone. You can do these items. And actually, we'll put on your list the next step for items that you can do, but only ones you can do right now. Anyway, it's a great process, but David is a really interesting guy, a wonderfully inspiring guy. So we're going to get him on.
Everything, all of that stuff seems so logical, and it seems like you'd have to be crazy not to try to implement that. But the actual implementation is hard.
Yeah. And
you know,
of course,
you've got to think differently. You've got to be able to not feel like you're nagging yourself.
Right.
You know, if you're next to your phone and you've got certain things to do, you got to just do them. Just do it. I'm really good at making my bed, for example, but I'm not good at, cleaning up my Gmail contacts.
Well, one thing I found, I'm going to ask Dave about this, is that geeks often spend more time setting up the system to get things done than actually getting anything done.
Exactly.
You know, Merlin Mann, of course, is a great proponent of getting things done. And he's interviewed David Allen. And the name of his site, 43 Folders, actually comes from the process of the GTD book.
You know, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you just told me that, because I always sort of wondered, and I'm sure I could have looked it up, but now I know.
Well, you create a folder for every day of the month, 31 folders, and then you create 12 folders for every month. And as you go through stuff, if there's stuff that has to be done on a particular date, you put it in that folder. Like if it's got to be done in July, you put it in the July folder.
Okay.
And then when you get to July, you sort them out into 1 through 31. And then every day you go to, number 7, if this is the 7th, so you go to the 10th, you go to the 10th, folder, you open it up, and there's things you need to, that need to be done that day. Things like that that really can make a big difference. Very simple.
Now, can I just play devil's advocate for a second and wonder what ever happened to spontaneity?
Spontaneity got thrown out the window when we had all these things in our lives we had to get
done.
Darn
you, technology.
Well, there's some things that just have to be done. For instance, Amber MacArthur. She said she was due, I think, this... She said maybe a Valentine's Day. She thought maybe she'd have a baby this week. Uh-huh. So we sent her... I sent her an email saying, come on the show. She said, well, we're actually getting discharged from the hospital later today. So I'll call in if I'm home in time. But if not, next week for sure to say hi.
Oh, good.
She says, I'm getting some sleep between feedings and I'm over the moon. We're over the moon. She and Chris, her partner, especially thankful... She says, she's such a geek, for the iPhone contraction monitor application.
Oh.
She says, got us through the 22 hours of labor.
How? What did it do?
You know, it's
pump funny. Painkillers into her blood?
I wrote an application in HyperCard to do that when my wife was going to have a baby. And I think it was a way of easing my anxiety because, of course, as soon as she went into labor, all of that stuff went out the window. And it was like, right. What do I do now? What do I do now?
Yeah,
but Amber and Chris clearly are more advanced geeks than I. So if Amber calls in, we'll say hi to her. But but otherwise,
you know, Amber and I, even though we know so many of the same people and we have really similar interests, we've never met.
You're kidding.
Not in real life. No.
Wait a minute. You've never met in person?
No.
Didn't you meet at New Media Expo?
No.
Because she was down there. Yeah. I can't believe I didn't introduce
her. I mean, I know I didn't
Amber.
Meet her. You know,
oh, that is... I'm
possible we were in the same room.
It's my fault. I apologize.
It's not your fault.
I can't believe it.
Isn't that funny, though? It's just... It's weird. It's like I feel like we know each other. You know, she said, I used to watch you on the screensavers all the time when I was first starting out with Leo and Call for Help in Canada and trying to get ideas of how to do things. And I was so flattered.
Oh, no, she was a big fan, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan, too, so mutual fans.
Before we get to our first links, because there's some sites we want to talk about, and we're going to talk to David Allen in just a little bit of getting things done, but it is time to talk about GoToMeeting. Talk about getting things done. GoToMeeting is a great program for getting meetings done. You know, these days, traveling across country can waste so much time, you know, getting in an airplane, going through security. And, you know, I've done this. You travel across country for a 2-hour meeting. That's crazy. Or even driving across town for a 15-minute meeting.
And think of your carbon footprint.
Well, exactly. You'll save time. You'll save money. You'll save gas. You'll save the earth with GoToMeeting. Now, the way GoToMeeting works, you set it up on your computer right now. In fact, go to GoToMeeting.com/night, and it'll install. Before I'm done talking, you'll have it running. Now, when you've got a conference call, we've got one coming up tomorrow. Let's say I have a PowerPoint I want to show. So what I'll do is I'll click a couple of links and I'll send out an email to the meeting participants saying, okay, our meeting's scheduled for 3:45. Click this link at that time. They click the link. It takes them to GoToMeeting.com. They don't have to install anything. All of a sudden, they're seeing my computer. We can even do it on the phone. If I wanted to show you, some documents that we were going to work on, maybe the links for the show, we wanted to rehearse it. I would just say, okay, well, I've got it set up. I'm just going to click my mouse. Go to GoToMeeting.com, Sarah. Here's the meeting ID. You enter it in. Again, you're seeing my screen. You see everything I'm showing, the PowerPoint, the slides, the websites. You can collaborate. I could say, well, what do you think about this paragraph? And you say, well, let me try it. And you could take control and type.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We can do training that way. You could take control of applications on my machine after I show you how to use them. It's extremely powerful.
Yeah, that sounds great. It's funny. It's like sometimes I get accused of not wanting to do enough face-to-face time with people.
Yeah, I hate it.
Definitely a computer
This is
person.
My kind of face-to-face.
Exactly. We can all
this
just be comfortable in our own homes or places of business.
You could kick off your shoes, lie down on your bed, and enjoy your meeting.
Hang out with your slippers.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the way to do it.
Are you wearing the cheetah pajamas that you wore on the Pop Siren? I mean, the Dig Reel?
No. I'm actually in real clothes. I don't wear shoes at home. I don't believe in that. And it's kind of cold, so I got my slippers on.
It's cozy.
Yeah, it's cozy. Very cozy. It's good.
GoToMeeting.com/night. Go there right now. Get 30 days free. Show the boss, your clients, your colleagues. They're all going to love it. It really is a great way to save time, save money, save the planet. GoToMeeting.com/night for your 30-day free trial. We're going to use it tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
30 days for free. That's good.
Hey, good deal. So have you tried Deliverr yet?
Sure have.
What'd you think?
I have to say, the first the first delivery that I got was from you.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I think we've got Dave on the line.
David's here.
Leo Laporte.
Hi, Leo.
Good to talk to you. Sarah Lane is also with us. Say hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello, David.
So I am a huge fan of GTD.
Oh, my God. Does it hurt?
No. It helps. And I was just talking about Mind Like Water. And, you know, is there you've probably perfected the elevator pitch. Is there a quick, you know, it can't be that quick. But is there a quick way to describe what GTD is all about?
Sure. Keep all your commitments out of your head. Clarify exactly what you mean and what you're going to do about the stuff in terms of what doing, what done means, what doing looks like, and where it happens. Park all that stuff in trusted places that you can see when you need to see it, review and reflect on all of it with sufficient conversations at all the horizons you've got commitments, and then trust your gut about what you do.
I like the commitment word because really that is what you're saying when you say, I'm going to do something. You're making a commitment.
Yeah, you're making an agreement with yourself. And that's such a big key. And, you know, I think a whole lot of what the world has learned out of a lot of the self-development methodologies, you know, over the last 30 years or so is how huge the agreement level is psychologically. You know, when you make an agreement with yourself and you don't keep it, you undermine all kinds of things.
Yeah, you don't. You actually harm yourself.
Yeah, you do.
At least psychologically.
Well, it's interesting, David, because, you know, I do that all the time where I write something down. You know, I write down a to-do list. I've always got them near me. Mm-hmm. And I always have to write them down physically because I don't know why. I just do, you know, something about a pen and paper.
Yeah,
but it is very hard for me then to revisit the list because it's out of my mind and it's almost as if I've already done the task, but I haven't.
Yeah, well, you've got another level of agreement that you're not keeping.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having a trusted system doesn't just mean that you put down physical stuff in physical places. It means that you have the behavior to engage with them appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you just have a bunch of stuff piled up around your life, you say, look, here's all the crap I just don't want to decide about right now, and you actually get a box and with a big, you know, magic marker and put crap I don't want to decide about right now, and you put all that stuff in there, you walk free. As long as some part of you looks in that box as often as you think you should to make sure it's okay that it's still crap you don't want to decide about.
Yeah.
That is very – by the way, I've done that. It's very freeing. Were you surprised how geeks have taken to GTD?
Not after the fact. You know, I'm sort of bemused by where it's taken off and, you know, both how slow and how fast it's taken off.
When did you start doing GTD?
You know, a lot of the components of it, some of the basic stuff I started experimenting with and working with, and some mentors training me with parts of this back in the early 80s, 81, 82, 83. 83 was when I think I began to, you know, Lockheed asked me to come in and do some work with them to design, you know, a sort of a management and executive development sort of a seminar around some of this material. And that was, I think, a precipitating event that sort of forced me to think through, okay, how do I take what I've been consulting with people one-on-one with and put it into some sort of format? So that, I think that was a pretty watershed event.
And then the book came out?
01.
01. So it's pretty recent.
Yeah. Well, eight years. Time flies.
Man, that seems like a long time to me.
Depends on how old you are.
01. My goodness.
She's a young, young woman, David.
Oh, yeah.
She has no perspective. To me, that was yesterday.
01.
But geeks really did take to it. And I think part of the reason is because we like systems.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You're also almost as lazy as me. You are early adopters.
Yep.
The GTD is system independent, so you don't. Not only do you not have to give up what you like and what's your cool gear, but it turbocharges it like crazy. And you're also in an enabling profession that the whole purpose of the profession is to make things easier for people.
Well, and more than that, if you're a geek, you're surrounded by stimulus constantly, lots of things to get done. Life does start to seem a little overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah.
Oof. And, I agree with that, for sure. I mean, I never really felt like I had, you know, attention deficit disorder until I really started to work with computers exclusively, not only at work, but then at home. It became so much harder for me to not feel overwhelmed all the time.
Now, you've written a new book, Making It All Work. This, in fact, it just came out on Audible. I listened to GTD, the first book on Audible. And then I got some tapes of your seminars, which I found really wonderful. And now this new one, I haven't heard it yet. Tell us about Making It All Work. What's that?
It takes GTD deeper and wider. So somebody, I think, very relatively appropriately said, look, GTD, the first book, is for the left brain part of you that wants a good tactical manual and kind of about how to get things under control and how to work it. The new book is more right brain, the more philosophical, spiritual, psychological side of why these dumb little things, when you do them, create incredibly powerful results.
Oh, that's interesting. So you've done a lot of research on how this works?
No. No. Well, yes. Research meaning thousands of hours with some of the busiest, brightest, most overwhelmed people on the planet and you know, testing this stuff out.
Right.
So when you say research, probably more research than anybody who does research. I'm out there in the trenches, you know, testing this stuff out. So, you know, it's really just the compilation of a lot of my own ahas in watching what happened when people did this simple stuff called get stuff out of their head, decide, make executive decisions about what it means when it first shows up instead of when it blows up, and parking these things into trusted places so their brain truly gets to move to a different place and to engage with their life from a different way. So the new book was really about the principles underneath these principles. It doesn't change them, so there's nothing really new in that way. So some people might think it's a revisit of it, and in a way it is, but it's an understanding of, at a deeper level. If you want to get control of anything, whether that's cooking dinner for friends or, you know, a country or Wall Street or anything, you'll go through these five stages of capturing and clarifying and organizing and reflecting and engaging. So it's like that set of behaviors, the five stages of how you get control of anything and the six horizons that you truly need to manage conversations with yourself if you want to make sure that you've got appropriate perspective and focus. I couldn't get it any simpler than that, but it did get that simple.
Yeah.
Now, did you feel like, Leo.
Go ahead.
Did you feel like, David, you know, in the last 10 years, I mean, a lot of people have gotten familiar with GTD and been using it, that they, you know, wrote into you or met you and told you about ways that they were using the process that you hadn't thought of originally?
Almost every day, you know, somebody comes up with some cool new way that they do X, Y, and Z. And I was just on a teleconference with one of my coaches and, you know, a bunch of our folks in GTD Connect, which is our membership group virtually online. And, you know, Wayne was saying when he takes notes in a meeting now, what he does is somebody was asking a question. One of our audience was asking a question. Well, what do you do with all the meeting notes that just pile up on you? You know, he's talking about that was one way he wasn't able to kind of got behind the curve in terms of being able to process all this stuff. And Wayne's point of view was, look, you know, he takes meeting notes on a nice big legal pad in terms of ideas and thoughts and whatever, but as soon as there's something that seems like that's probably going to turn into an action at some point that he needs to make actionable, he actually keeps a small junior legal pad and takes those on one page per note so that those things get thrown in his in-basket. That becomes a lot easier to process those instead of having to then dig back through, you know, four pages of a legal pad notes to find those kinds of things. And I went, aha, now I've been doing this for 30 years. What a good idea.
Never thought of that.
So not in terms of the principles. The principles don't change.
Right.
That's like gravity. I sort of figured that out. And, you know, gravity just is what it is. But the way people play with gravity and what they do with it is infinite. And in the same way, I think the same thing with GTD, because it's not really a system. It's a systematic approach.
Right. And I got to underscore this because I know you say it. It isn't about how you do it. It's not about the tools that you use. The approach is the same, regardless of tools. But everybody, I'm sure, asks you this. What do you use for your system? I mean, do you use the paper system you talk about with the 43 folders and everything?
Well, I use the Tickler file for 43 folders for that. Yeah, but, you know, there's no one piece of gear that can do everything, because all the stuff that needs to be managed, there are certain kinds of gear and tools that work better than others. So, you know, it's a lot easier for me to throw a receipt into a Tickler file because I don't have to write it anywhere. I'm too lazy. So that's the easiest way to manage some of those kinds of things. For the most part, most of, as you know, GTD is really about lists and how do I manage lists to make sure I have the list appropriate and can see them when I need to and can add to them when I need to. I use Lotus Notes because our company uses Lotus Notes, you know, as our groupware.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have just up until only a few months ago, I just used the plain tasks and you know, in there for creating my own list, much like you can do an Outlook with tasks. You know, you can just categorize them as a list, make them a flat list. And you can print them out, or you can then essentially sync them to a PDA, which I do. I have a Trio 755, and I just sync my to-do list off of Lotus Notes onto my Trio. So that's where I pretty much handle that. But that's very different than just note-taking. If I'm collecting stuff, you know, I designed my own little note-taker wallet, which is my key tool, because weird ideas happen in weird places, and I don't want to have to be depending on my computer for capturing that. Almost all my capture comes across in paper. And then it gets processed. And then once it gets processed, then I'll organize using lists right now in the computer for the most part.
Yeah, my friend Steve Levine of Levenger is big on the 3x5 cards. He's got that whole system. I think that's wonderful. He's going to be talking at your summit, I know.
Yeah, he's going to be at our summit.
The GTD summit is coming to San Francisco March 11th through the 13th.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, you know, it's been working for a long time in my brain. GTD has become such a global phenomenon. And interestingly, the common denominator is only that there are people who don't have time to go to a conference and are some of the busiest and most productive and most independent people on the planet. So I said, let's get all those people together.
Wow.
People who seem to share there's something about, you know, how the world works. So our subtitle is Changing the Way the World Works. So how is the world working? Interestingly, and we, you know, this all got created before the economic weirdness that's gone on. But interesting timing.
It's very apropos, isn't it?
How does the world work? Well, you know, GTD is somewhat counter-cyclical, at least psychologically, you know, because when the heat's on and the pressure's on and you really got to make tough choices and you really got to stay clear and cannot afford any residue or any extraneousness in your life, that's where these practices become absolutely super critical, even more so. But again, you know, for people to then, when you get into survival mode, how much can you invest in process and you know, the improving your process and focusing on it, it's, you know, it can still be challenging. Anyway, we have a great set of panelists. We've got about 30, 35, you know, people, Steve, including them, Guy Kawasaki, Jim Fallows from The Atlantic is going to be there.
Love him.
You know, General Fulhart, the head of you know, global operations for the U.S. Air Force, big GTD champion, and is going to talk about, you know, how, you know, kind of the bigger game in terms of leadership and GTD and why that's there. Marshall Goldsmith, you know, lots of cool folks that just wanted to support me and support what we're doing. And, you know, it's kind of a build up and they'll come, but we're going to be talking about GTD and the GTD, your brain on GTD, why it works, GTD in education. GTD is there a new standard about how we work out there? You know, that needs to be, you know, implemented or reaffirmed. Anyway, it's going to be fun.
Buzz Bruggeman's going to be there, too. He created Active Words. He's a great guy.
Yeah, Buzz is fun.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people use Active Words for GTD.
Well, Active Words is great. You know, it's just a simple little macro program. So when you type stuff in, it takes you to wherever you want to go and, you know, replaces stuff for you. It's one of those dumb, simple ideas that, you know, like, don't take that away from me. That's
right.
Absolutely critical.
But that's the key. For me, I found that's really been the key to making a GTD system that works, is a very quick and easy way to get that stuff into that trusted system you talk about. You got to trust it, of course, and you have to check it, which I always is the hardest part for me.
You won't trust it unless you do.
You got to review it.
Yep.
But it has to be quick and easy to get it into there. And I find keystroke macros are a very quick and easy way to do that. You just
absolutely,
go boom, and it's in there.
Well, you know, David, it's really quick. I know we don't want to take up too much of your time, but, you know, you had mentioned writing things down and then putting them into an electronic system. Obviously, you've done a lot of research, especially for your latest book. Is there something in the brain that helps us remember things better or makes us feel more at ease when we write things out? Because that is something that I have to
do. That's a good point, yeah.
Well, from my experience, at least, from a lot of years of observation of this, is what happens is that when you hold stuff in your mind, the place that's holding it in your mind has no sense of past or future. It thinks you should be doing it all the time, psychologically. That's why it'll wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and beat you bloody about something you can't do anything about while you're lying in bed, but it still thinks you need to be. It's going, but you need batteries. But I can't buy batteries at 3 o'clock in the morning in bed. You know? So the truth is once you get it out, then the brain says, oh, now I don't have to keep hanging on to that, which then means I can let go and renegotiate that agreement with myself. But you can't renegotiate agreements you can't remember you made. So you've got to get them out of your head and look at them and go, no, not right now. And as simple as that little process is, you make the list and feel better is because you made the list and decided not to do what was on the list, or maybe just one of them.
It's a letting go. It really is a feeling of letting go and saying,
exactly.
Okay, I've got it. It's stored. But I think you're right, Sarah. I think writing it down is for a lot of people is a process that is very effective. Because
maybe it's just the extra energy it takes to write something out, you know, longhand with a pen rather than a keystroke.
I just see David with a big pile of yellow pads for some reason. I don't know why.
You know, any of that work, the psychologists have a fancy name. They call it distributed cognition. You know, basically, and they're finding out, I think we're still at the very beginning to find out how powerful that is.
Yeah.
Your mind is for having ideas, but not for hanging on to them.
Right.
And so the mind has the idea, but then it expresses your mind needs to be free to express and expand like crazy. But you only, the more that you can trust that on the back end, you have an executive process that will handle it, the more freedom it'll have to be spontaneous and crazy on the front end, which is what you want. That's what I do. That's what I want.
Yeah. David, I can't tell you what an honor and a thrill it is to talk to you. I'm a huge fan since I first listened to GTD on Audible, and I recommend it to everybody and all the books. Also, I have the I can't remember what it's called, 52 Things, or the productivity book.
Mm-hmm.
I just love them all.
Thanks, Leo.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
And I think the summit sounds fantastic. You can go to gtdsummit.com. to find out more about the summit. It's coming up soon, though, so don't. This is not one to put off. Sign up today. There's going to be some great speakers, and of course, David will be there March 11th through 13th in San Francisco. And by the way, yes, David twitters.
Yes, I do. I just started.
You would think that'd be kind of the opposite of getting things done.
I know. Jury's out, but you know. I figured, well, it's better than taking drugs, maybe. You know?
No, I think it is a drug, David. I hate to say it. He's GTD guy on Twitter, and I'm following you now. I didn't know you were on there. Somebody in our chat room mentioned it.
I'm going to right
yeah.
now.
Thank you so much for joining us, David. I really appreciate it. Have fun in San Francisco.
Hey, my pleasure, guy.
I'll come up and say hi. Take care.
Thanks, David.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. Bye.
Bye.
He's just, I'm not kidding, one of my great heroes, and... ever since I think Merlin Mann introduced us to the concepts of GTD, because Merlin, of course, if you go to 43folders.com, he is the king of, you know, systems and stuff. Just really fun. And just I gave you an example of his most recent tweets from GTD guy. Just confirmed major bloggers from Estonia, Czech Republic, and Netherlands are coming to the GTD summit. That is cool.
You know, it's funny. Talking to David, it's like, the things he says, it's nothing that you think is like, wow, that's revolutionary, but it really takes a lot of self-discipline. I think that is like,
I know.
That's the big thing is, you know, it's so
easier. It gets easier if you get in the habit of it. And the habit is what's hard to get into.
Right.
And he's right. If you know, it's one thing to dump all that stuff out, but you've got to review. If you don't review it, you know, you're just dead.
Now, are you one of those folks who will, like, for example, you know, I was mentioning attention deficit because I have so many different places that I'm connecting with people all the time that I'm literally just going through tabs back and forth.
I'm the poster boy for it. Are you kidding?
Well, but, you know, I've heard, you know, check your email at set times during the day, those sorts of things. And to me, I'm like, that's crazy. What if somebody emails me and they need an answer?
But, you know, you and I, and Amber too, Amber and I have talked about this many times, how we think that the technology makes you ADD. Or maybe if you're ADD, you gravitate towards it. We can't figure out which is the case, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg. But Merlin says this. He says, do not check your mail all the time. You don't have to say set times. But don't do it every 4 minutes because it's a time sink, isn't it?
Every time
you check it, it's like, okay, now I got to answer that. Oh, now I got to answer. I just started and it's really thrown everybody in my family. My sister Eva is going to start answering my mail.
I know. I got one of your auto replies.
Well, it threw everybody. I put auto replies on everything. And everybody said, what? My mother, Leo does, she calls me Leo, isn't going to answer my mail anymore? No, I still read the mail, but it's just that somebody will be there in addition to me, backing me up.
Because there's just no way. I mean, you'd just be buried and buried and buried all the time.
But see, now when you got that responder, which you know, it just says, you know, thank you. This is an auto response. We're going to get to your mail. Eva's helping me with this. And you know, if I don't answer it, I apologize. Here's some resources. But it's just, I'm getting hundreds of messages an hour now, and I just can't answer them all. You're technologically sophisticated. You probably understood that and knew that I'd still see your mail, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
my father-in-law, my brother-in-law. Those are the people who freaked out.
Yeah. Well, these are, I mean, I think I'm a little different because these are the sort of autoresponders that a lot of people who get a lot of email use.
You've seen them.
I've seen them. I've used them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of know that it's not as if you've just decided to stop answering email. That would be crazy.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that, but they thought that's what I was saying.
Of course. Yeah. It's just, you know, I have to say email has become my Well, voicemail is actually my least favorite way to communicate, but email is my second least favorite because there's so many other immediate ways.
Twitter, baby, the real, this is Scoble's really been banging this drum, and I'm starting to come around the real time web. Scoble this week said even Google isn't fast enough searching things like friend feed, where your friends are churning up information that you are interested in. Those are the people you follow. You search that information in real time. It's much more valuable. I'm with you 100% on that. Email's too slow.
It's too slow. And that? It's too, you know, it's this delayed response.
It's asynchronous. It's
asynchronous.
You, now me, now you, now me. And what we really want is we want everything to happen, you know, in real time quickly.
Exactly. More real language, kind of, you know, it's just more of that real time communication. You know, it's funny. It's, you know, we were talking about, what's Scoble's word for it? Real time what?
Real time web. RTW.
Real time web.
You're
going to
hear,
okay.
This is the year of the real time web. Get ready for this one.
Yes. Well, you know, it's funny. Last night, you know, this is sort of related. I'm sort of tooling around the internet, doing my thing. And I start seeing all the LA people start to tweet about this low-speed Bentley car chase that's going down in L.A.
Yes.
And I quickly turn on CNN. Yes. There's nothing. You know, I look at Fox. I look at MSNBC. No one's covering it. You know, 2 hours later, no one's covering it.
Right.
They're showing Anderson Cooper reruns.
Right.
And the only place I could get information was on Twitter. And then finally somebody posted a, you know, a web feed to one of the local stations down there. And, you know, I was like, I might as well just turn my TV off. My TV was totally unhelpful. And it was like, wow, this was... You know, I've had a few instances now where I can't go to the television is not going to give me what I want. I have to go to the internet.
Yes.
In this example, Twitter. But, you know, it was really sort of like a aha moment. Like they have really got to get their act together or we're going to stop watching.
You know, I just read an article. It's the front page of the Wall Street Journal today about local television. Their viewership's down 17%. They're laying people off. Nobody's watching it. They've had to. They talk about a Las Vegas station where they're firing sales staff. They're firing, you know, right and left. And I think you're exactly right, because your generation and even, you know, my kids' generation, they just don't go to the TV anymore. That's not the go-to information place.
Mm-hmm. And they're definitely not watching local news.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
I used to work in local news.
Yeah, you used to work at Channel 4 here in San Francisco, and it was at NBC.
I used to work at Cron when it was the affiliate. You did for a time.
Yeah, I did too. In fact, we followed one another on a show. You produced the show after I left. But that's a really good example. What do you think, and others who were in that business, what do you see now? I mean, did you see the writing on the wall, or are you surprised?
No, I'm definitely not surprised, but I think that, you know, when I graduated college, I graduated in 98. So, and I, you know, was a broadcast major, and I really thought that I wanted to go into news. I only worked in the newsroom a short time before I realized it wasn't really my calling, but
really where you don't want to be.
But I still thought that, you know, I mean, broadcasting was still a degree, that was, you know, very, you know, it could be very lucrative and very exciting. And that changed real fast. I mean, within about 5 years, it became sort of like we got to go do something in the technology field. I was lucky enough to already kind of be doing both. So I got lucky. I've got friends and former colleagues who are still kind of in that local news rat race. I don't know what they're doing there.
But now here's a point. They're making this in chat, and it's a good point. You found out about the chase on Twitter and so forth, but if it weren't for the local stations and their video of the chase, you wouldn't have been able to see it.
Very true. But then I wasn't watching the news. I was watching a feed on the internet too. So it's just, it's weird.
That's very their bad. Future, isn't it? Is that, and certainly that's the Times and everybody else is saying, oh, our future is not in print. It's not on broadcast. It's in on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think I'm, you know, where do you think I'm, I'm placing my bets, huh?
You're such a trailblazer.
I've laid a pretty heavy bet on the internet. I think that's where all content ought to be. Certainly tech content.
Yeah.
Because our audience is already there. That's where they're waiting for us, you know?
Well, you're a smart cookie, Laporte. Tell you what.
You don't have to say that to be on the show, but it helps.
No, it's true.
No, I'm just teasing. You don't say, don't, stop. So we were talking before David called in about a site called Deliver, and I'm going to talk about that in just a sec. This is kind of a twist on short URLs, specifically for cell phone users. But before we do that, I do want to mention Audible.com, because they are sponsoring the show, and because David's books are on Audible.com, and the new one just came out on Audible.com. So I want to make that our pick of the week. So here's the deal. Here's how we do this. Right. Audible.com is our sponsor, and you know we love audiobooks. Do you listen to audiobooks? I can't remember. Are you an audiobook listener?
No, but I'm going to.
We're going to work on you.
Yeah. I want to be one.
Well, a lot of our listeners aren't. In fact, that's if they all were, then I wouldn't. Then Audible wouldn't be paying us to do ads because they'd say, yeah, we don't need you. They're trying to get the word out. And podcast listeners are an obvious group because, of course, you're already listening to audio content.
Right.
What's better than listening to some of the great books, fiction and nonfiction? I'm reading right now, and I say reading, and I know sometimes I get email people saying, you're listening, you're not reading. No, I'm reading. I am, because it's, I'm ingesting the words of the book. Doesn't matter if it comes through my eyes or my ears. I'm still reading the book. I'm reading the history of Lincoln's cabinet, The Team of Rivals, and I'm just adoring this book. So history's there, nonfiction of all kinds, including the new fiction, too. And I listen to a lot of fiction. In fact, my next one is going to be the Hermann Hesse classic, The Glass Bead Game, Magister Ludi, which I read in high school and loved. And I saw that just put it out on Audible, so I immediately downloaded it. Yeah. That's another good thing about Audible. You see a book you want, it's like a big bookstore, 51,000 titles. And you download it within seconds. Now it's on your iPod or your Zune or your Kindle, and you can listen. So the new one from David Allen's called Making It All Work. He reads it in that great Texas twang. You probably heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I just love his style, his voice. Let me play a little bit of David reading this here.
The acronym GTD, as the methodology described in that book has come to be known, has become a standard item in the lexicon of self-management. And a web search for the term generates literally millions of references.
He's right, too, by the way. Making It All Work, winning at the game of work and life. And by the way, that is an important point, is that his stuff is not about, all about making more money or doing better at business. It's actually, truthfully, about having the life you want, doing what you want.
Yeah, being happier.
Being happier in everything.
I'm all about that, man.
Yeah. He's, you're very zen. And I think that's why you'd like this. He's totally zen in all of this. And you kind of probably could tell when we were talking to him.
Well, I think working towards being more zen is good for everybody.
No, I agree. It's about mind like water. It's about acceptance. It's about stillness. Mm-hmm. It's about peace. And GTD is really, at bottom, about getting peace back in your life. Not letting the little issues in life that we all have to handle, even if you're the Buddha, you got to tie your shoes. And not letting those things take away your peace and your peace of mind and your creativity. And that's really what this is at bottom all about. His new book is called Making It All Work. You can download it. 8 hours and 38 minutes of Zen goodness. And get it for free by going to audible.com/night. You sign up for a gold account and keep that book, even if you decide not to stick around.
Free Zen, people. Free Zen.
Free Zen. The Dalai Lama is on here, by the way.
He's, no.
Yeah.
Fake account.
No, not on Twitter. On Audible. That's not a fake account. Now, let's talk. All right. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I was duped. It isn't a fake account. It's from his office, isn't it?
No. No. What happened was the real office
too.
Of His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, contacted the people at Twitter and said, that's not us. And it went down immediately. And the rest of us went, whoops.
It looked like the real thing.
It did. And, people had been pointing out to me, after the fact, I said, oh, it was a fake. Darn it. That sucks. Don't impersonate His Holiness. And they said, well, there were some misspellings here and there. And, I've actually been to Dharamsala, which is where the Dalai Lama now resides. In exile, which is in India. It's near the border of Tibet, and that's where his headquarters are located. And I thought, it's not that beyond the realm of possibility that there's some misspellings. I mean, these
right.
are people who are, maybe English is a second language for many of them. So I kind of overlooked that, but I guess I should have.
It fooled me. I followed him. It completely fooled me. It was OHHDL, Office of His Holiness the Dalai mm-hmm. Lama, and I thought, oh, this is because it looked very official, and it wasn't. Yeah. It didn't. If it had pretended to be the Dalai Lama, I would have said, "Oh no, he's not twittering." But it was his office.
Exactly. It's so. It's like, ooh. Mm.
I was suckered.
I am too. A lot of people were. A lot. And I don't know. I mean,
but God is on Twitter, Actually, there's two gods. There's God and Almighty God, and I can't decide which to follow.
I think there's also the real God.
Oh, I am shocked. I thought that was the... Oh, I'm so disappointed that wasn't the Dalai Lama.
I know, bummer. But the Dalai Lama is on Audible.
He is on Audible, so that's all we care about. Audible.com/night. Now, which URL shortening utility do you like? Do you use Tiny URL?
I like Bitly.
Me too. Bitly guy.
Yeah.
Why do you like Bitly?
Well, you know, I don't have a really good reason except that I, you know, at one point somebody had suggested it. I made it a little bookmarklet and I use it all the time. I mean, I use it.
Well, and you know, I started using Snip URL because you could sign up for an account and would keep track of what you did, and you could. And the thing I really liked, and everybody started doing this after Snip URL did it, was that you could name them something else. So I could say Snip URL Sarah's hair, and that would be that link. But but then, of course, Tiny URL started doing this. But the thing I like about Bitly, and I've started using Bitly for all my tweets, is that it does statistics.
Yes.
So you can see, and there's a great preview add-on for Firefox that lets you see how many people have clicked your links.
I use it. And you know what I also I love that for is you can hover over on Twitter in reply to, and you can see what the original tweet was without having to click back.
Right.
Very helpful.
It's it's a great plugin, and I just we're going to use it for all of our links going forward, just because we'd like to know how many people click our links. You know, it's helpful. So bit.ly. But now comes a new one.
Dun dun dun.
And it's got the plot thickens. It's deliver. DELIVR. Yes. Now I sent you a deliver link.
You did.
How did it work?
Great. So all right. So it was about 7:30, by the way. This morning when my phone went ding, ding, and I went, who is texting me at 7:30, that awful friend?
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. You're a father. Father's got a privilege.
I was preparing for the show today.
Yeah. And sure enough, you know, it was from kind of a weird, it was 9549, you know, it was something I didn't understand. But then when I opened it up.
Oh, so wait a minute. Now the phone number from it wasn't mine.
No,
it was a 954 number. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, that's
well. Cool. It's not even a. It's not even a. It's just a.
It's a number.
Number.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a phone number at all. But it, you know, Leo Laporte sent you. I wonder if you can see this.
Yeah.
See it.
Sent you, and then I sent you a link.
I clicked on the link. I'm going, what is he doing? And I've got this really cool map to the Twit Cottage. You know, an actual Google map here.
Formatted for your phone, though. That's what I thought was cool.
Formatted for my phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought, oh, great. So, you know, the great thing about Deliver, if you go to the website, which is DLIV, it's Deliver without the E, without the second E, you know, very trendy, .com, you've got a maps option. You've got YouTube for YouTube movies, Flickr, or you can obviously use a custom URL if you want, but they want to build in these nice little drop downs for you. Sent a Flickr photo to somebody this morning, just, you know, as a test. You know, it was like a picture of me, and I, you know, they let you do a little subject and a little description, you know, the way that you would with a regular message. Went through like a dream. And you know, so you can it's an easy way to send it to a variety of social networks, you know, Facebook, you know, Reddit, Dig, all those, you know, the big ones, Jaiku. Or is it Yaiku? Did I just
hear it? Jaiku. It's not Yaiku.
Okay. See, okay. The person who shall remain nameless who told me that made me feel like a big jerk. Jaiku.
No, I know Petri and Yiri, the creators, and they say Jaiku.
Good. I feel vindicated.
tell that jerk you were wrong.
I will, with pleasure. You know, send it to mobile numbers. So what you do is, you know, you just enter in the mobile number of the person that you want to send the message to. Or, now, and maybe you can enlighten me on this, because I kind of couldn't figure out the print option. Does the print option make sense to you? Because if you...
Well, look at this. Here's the key.
Okay.
It makes a special barcode for it.
Yeah. It does.
Now, I tried this. There's an application on the iPhone, and most phones will support this, but there's a free application, maybe a 99-cent application on the iPhone that, let me find the name of it. It's called 2D Sense. Uh-huh. So you could take a picture of it. Like, let's say it was printed on a billboard on the subway. I've seen these. In fact, in Paris, I saw them in the metro. They print these weird little barcodes at the bottom of a billboard. And the idea is that you then point your phone at it and you take a picture of it. And then the program interprets the link and gives you a link to it. You could even print a flyer with that on there so that it would, you know, you put the flyer up on the wall and then people would use their phones to get the actual link to it. So that's the idea behind it.
I love the idea. I just, I can't think of a really good reason.
Well, let's say, let's see. Let's say you lost your dog.
Okay.
And you put up flyers of you lost your dog and you wanted a picture of your dog so somebody could put it on their phone with the relevant information of who to call.
Okay.
You could put in the bottom this little barcode and say, you know, snap this to add Snuffy's picture to your phone.
God, isn't that neat?
And then you could click the, and then the thing would also have your phone number and you say, if you see this dog, click this number.
You know what? That is so, it's so, Deliver is so, it's such a great example of, being ahead of its time. You know, one day everyone will be scanning things like this.
Well, that's the problem is nobody has these stupid applications.
Well, or they just have no idea what that's supposed to
be.
I didn't. I mean, I consider myself pretty tech savvy.
Well, this is the first time I'd ever used it. In fact, I downloaded that application just so. But I had seen this around, and there are a number of different formats. There's at least six different formats for these kind of 2D or 3D barcodes.
Yeah,
they're kind of, it's kind of an interest. I don't know if it's going to take off. Remember the QCAT?
No.
Our friend Dave did that out of Texas. It was a free.
Whoa.
They said they gave it away at Radio Shack. It was a free. It looked like a little kitty cat.
Yes.
It was a handheld scanner. You remember that?
And we had it on the Screen Series, didn't we?
Yeah. And you would and magazines. The idea, and it never took off because it was, because listen to how stupid it was. You're reading a magazine. There's a barcode at the bottom of the ad. You scan it. Then you have to hook your QCAT up via USB to your computer so it can download the scans so that it can open the web page. It's easier to type the darn URL than do that.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting idea, but there's too many middlemen.
Exactly. But now with a cell phone, it may be not such a bad idea, I'm thinking. If you could just take a picture and now that data is in your phone.
Right. I can see that. I can see that bulletin boards, I mean, actual like telephone poles and things like that, they all have,
right.
Can you imagine, you know, let's give it 5 years. Do you think everything's just going to have a little barcode and everyone will automatically understand that if you scan the barcode, you get the information that's on that flyer? That's cool. I love that idea.
I think it's here now.
Yeah.
Did you see
because really it's like, this is sort of, it's like bringing the internet to the telephone poles.
Exactly. The internet comes to your, but that's why portable smartphones are changing everything, because you now have your computer and your browser with you. So instead of a QCAT getting as an intermediary, now
you're just holding it already.
Speaking of those posters that people put up on the telephone poles, did you see Veronica's picture?
Oh, about the people who got their laptops.
Yeah. And I want to read it because it's got some profanities in it. It's on her Flickr stream. It is so funny. It goes, F you. You stole our laptops from our apartment, but I'm sure you needed them all, right? The pillowcase, you took them in. Keep it. But the laptops, come on. What an effing jerk. And then it has those little tabs tear off with the phone number.
Right.
They all say F you, F you, F you, F you.
And there were like three taken.
That's the funniest part. Who's taking those?
I don't know.
Who's taking those?
I mean, it's one of those things where you read it and you go, that really sucks, but
pretty funny.
Golf clap for the humor.
Yeah, very good. Good way to handle it, you know?
Yeah.
Golf clap.
Yeah.
All right, a couple more links and we're going to wrap it up. I understand Amber is Twittering, which means she's probably home. I don't know if she'll call in. If she does, we'll get her on the show. If not, we will have her on next week. And by the way, the side effect of trying to get all these great guests on the show, we're going to have them all in the future. We'll get Drew Curtis is going to be on. We're going to get Gina Trapani from Lifehacker. We're going to have some great guests. Sarah knows everybody in the business. So we're going to have some fun while in Amber's absence talking to people. But you have a couple of more things to talk about. You tried Google Sync, right?
I did, Leo. So the whole idea with Google Sync is that you know, you're using, you know, your Google Calendar, you've got your Google Contacts. You know, many of us have been using our Gmail accounts for years and years and years. And now, you know, using the Microsoft Exchange server, Google's saying, hey, we're going to let you sync up with your iPhone.
Right.
And, you know, Ryan Block was actually via Twitter the person that alerted me to that because he knows everything about everything gadget related. So he's a great person to follow too. And I went, oh, neat, cool, awesome. Because I want to, yeah, you know, it's like I use my Google apps and then I use other things. And I just, you know, talk about getting things done. I really sort of need a central place to have my calendar and my contacts and everything. So I set it up, and mail is not a feature just yet, although it's apparently going to be rolled out pretty soon.
But now right you now, can get your Gmail, but it's just not pushed to your phone. Your phone has to go out and check it.
Exactly.
So they're going to add push to
Gmail? That's a battery drain, obviously. Yeah, right, you know, that's, right. You know, that's a big issue. And you also, you know, there's a bit of a delay there. So I went ahead and set it up. I was really disappointed about mail. And in fact, I thought initially that I had done something wrong and went troubleshooted for 2 hours before I realized, oh yeah, the feature just isn't working yet. But contacts and calendar seem to work. However, I can't seem to get it to push. I mean, the contacts are in here, and I have to say, anybody who wants to sync their Gmail contacts with their iPhone, think really carefully about how many contacts you might have, because now my
and a lot of them are junk.
Oh, they're all junk. I mean, I use Craigslist a lot, you know, to like buy furniture or sell tickets or, you know, I was trying to buy a car recently. So I was talking to all these anonymous people. I have like 400 anonymous weird Craigslist emails now in my iPhone. It's not helpful in the least.
Because Google Mail keeps everybody you ever sent an email to.
And people who've sent, you know, emails to me that, you know, you know, to like the wrong Sarah Lane, where
you're even. Oh, but you sent mail back.
Well, I usually do if I feel like, oh, you know, they're going to think that Sarah Lane ignored them. But yeah,
you're so nice. You're protecting that other person with your name.
Yeah. Well,
are there a lot of Sarah Lanes?
Oh yeah.
Really?
There are a lot of Sarah Lanes. It's a very common name. You know, Sarah and Lane. So put them together. We're 1 million strong or something like that. But,
the power of the Sarah Lane.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, first, just don't do what I did. Definitely make sure that your Gmail contacts or your Google contacts are really in order before you bring them to your iPhone, or it's going to make everything complicated. I didn't do that. I'm having problems. You know, I set up some appointments or some events my Google Calendar, and it ain't pushing.
Now, you know, this is why I didn't do it. It only does 5 of your calendars. So I have like 12 calendars.
I'm
so
you only have to, using one. And, I mean, and this you is have my to
choose,
personal calendar.
You know, you have to you go to m.google.com/sync and you choose your calendar, right?
Yeah.
You did that.
Yeah. I did.
You know, I've heard a lot of people on the net in the last 24 hours since this startup saying, it's not doing anything. You know, it's funny. It uses Microsoft Exchange. It's using ActiveSync. It's using Microsoft to do this.
I know.
See, you don't have a MobileMe account, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah. See, I use that and it works great. So now it's complicated. It's kind of like having a QCAT. So I do use Google for all my stuff, my Google Calendar and all that. I have a program called BusyMac. Does a thing, a company called BusyMac does a program called BusySync that syncs the Google Calendar to my Apple Calendar and phone book. Mm-hmm. And then I use MobileMe and that pushes it to my phone. But the good news is if I change something on my phone, it changes it on my Mac and on Google Calendar and vice versa.
But MobileMe is not free and Google is.
True. It's $79 bucks from Amazon. I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the most expensive thing in the world, but it's like, I got a free solution. I want a free answer. So I'm just chalking it up to it being new and being buggy. I have high hopes.
For a company that is so beloved and so respected, and you know, Jeff Jarvis wrote the book What Would Google Do?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of their stuff doesn't work. Have you noticed that? Like they killed Jaiku, they killed Dodgeball, Grand Central, what's happening there?
I don't know because I don't work there, but it seems to be the symptom that a company gets big enough and it's just too big and things just aren't moving through the stream effectively anymore. Even Google.
I can't figure it out.
I don't know. I want them to work. I remember when I used to like want to go on a date with Google. I loved it so much. I kind of still do.
You still do? The bloom's not off the rose.
Well, though. it's just different now. I mean, I don't see the company in the same way because, you know, it's
honeymoon is over.
Honeymoon's kind of over. Now I just want them to make me dinner sometimes.
Google, she's just not that and not into you. How was that movie, by the way? Yeah, how was that? Was it good?
You know, okay, so it was...
You had a girls' night out with... Who went? Who went? Like every celebrity in the internet world.
But nah, it was now. Well, I mean, there were some celebs.
Who was that?
Internet celebs.
They were all women.
They were all girls. No boys allowed.
Was Veronica there?
Veronica was there.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
So Justine.
Neha. No, Justine. Well, no, she wasn't there. She doesn't live in San Francisco.
That's right. She's moved to LA.
But if she would have been here, she would have been invited. would have, not wouldn't have.
Was Jessica Corbin there? Fempire?
No, Ms. Fempire? She's in Thailand.
Thailand? Mm-hmm. She's moved her Fempire to Thailand.
Yeah, she's doing her yoga thing. Remember we talked about that?
Oh, yeah. And actually, so anyway, Neha's in India. So everybody, they're all over the world now.
It's true. Yeah. So yeah, we went and saw the movie and it was fine. It was one of these, like, there were a few laughs, there were a lot of groans. But the best part was the theater was packed and it was full of women. I mean, there were like four men and a thousand.
Yeah, I'm not going to go see that movie. No.
And every time something would happen, you know, like, you know, at one point some guy says, like, you know, I cheated on you, and the whole theater goes, oh, and it was hysterical. I mean, I wish I had, you know, the whole thing recorded.
Was Ariel there? Ariel Waldman?
Yeah, Ariel was there. She did not like the movie. No, she didn't even think it was like, ha ha, this is a bad movie. She was mad when the whole thing was over.
She was angry.
She said that was a terrible movie. It was a waste of money. I enjoyed myself. Whatever. You know, I knew what I was getting into. Yeah.
Well, you know, we got to do this show from movie night, girls movie night out sometime. And I'll just sit in the back. I'll hold the microphone over you guys' head. Hey, oh, wait, before we go, I almost forgot. Twestival is Thursday, February 13th. Is that right? Or 12th? 12th. Go to Twestival. It is a really good idea. It is a benefit for a group called Charity Water. And you, as somebody who went all around the world, Sarah, know how important drinking water is.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean...
clean drinking water
is. We take this for granted that we've got, you know, clean water. Mm-hmm. So many places... You have children spending the whole day walking to a well and walking back, or they're drinking unsafe water. So Charity Water is about drilling wells in these areas and giving them water instead of drinking out of filthy rivers and so forth. Find out more about Twestival. On February 12th, 175 cities will be hosting Twestivals. We'll be at the San Francisco Twestival. But we're also, and I really want you to participate in this, we're giving two ads on Twit, which is our largest show. 175,000 geeks will hear these ads to the highest bidders. So if you want to donate to this, and I highly recommend it. By the way, Jason Calacanis will read your ad. And if you've ever heard Jason do an Audible ad, you know he's a brilliant pitch man. There's nobody better at reading your ad and getting people to buy your stuff. So... where is the Twestival ad? Is if you could use Bitly, but I'll just send you there. Well, let me give you the bit. It's a causecast.org, but probably the easiest thing to do would be to go to the Bitly link, which is, because it's easy to remember, bit.ly/QHK8. QHK8. And that'll take you right there to the donation, causecast.org/org/charity-water/donation/new.
Where's the San Francisco location?
I don't know. Let me go to the Twestival page. It's all listed there.
See, that now I don't know why I thought it was just Los Angeles.
Well, there's a big one in Los Angeles, but I think if you and I go to one in San Francisco, it's going to be a big one.
It'll be the biggest.
Yeah.
Who's bigger than us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. On the city, on the page, it says list attending one of the events on the cities listed on this page. Twestival, Africa, Pacific, South America. I mean, it's everywhere. North America. It's San Francisco.
South Padre Island.
Do you know where that is?
It's Texas.
Oh. I thought that's where the San Francisco one is. You can follow them at Twestival SF if you want to follow them. And as soon as the page comes up, I will tell you exactly. Well, just go to sanfrancisco.twestival.com.
I'm trying to pull it up. It's kind of
slow. I think everybody's going there right now.
I think everybody's going, yeah.
Yeah. There's one in Baltimore. They're all over the place. So just go to sanfrancisco.twestival.com.
I love some of
Paradise
these.
Paradise Lounge on Folsom.
Oh, Paradise Lounge. Okay.
6 p.m. February 12th.
Glitter
Girl will perform from the Temple of Poi.
Ooh. Here we go. Glitter Girl of Temple of Poi. That sounds like some Burning Man act.
Sure it is.
You know? Poi Priestess on Twitter. Cool. Well, I'm totally into this. Because, you know what? These sorts of events, there's certain people you know are going to be there. Like Scott Beall. Like, I'll give you $1 million if he doesn't go to this. You know? And he's always got cool people that he's hanging out with. And I love these sort of events. When they're local, because obviously, you know, getting down to LA for the evening is not really feasible for me, but going to the Paradise Lounge is. And you're going to see all these people that you know, and it's the community, and it's for a good cause, and I'm into it.
I think this is so cool. And I never get to go to these events, so if you'll introduce me to Scott Beall, I'll go.
You've never met Scott?
I have. Laughing Squid? Of course I've met Scott Beall.
That doesn't make any sense.
Of course
it doesn't add up.
Sarah Lane, I'm so glad that you are part of the Twit Empire.
Me too.
And, you know, I'm thrilled for Amber and that she had her baby, but I'm also thrilled because we get to do Net at Night together. You will be back on Friday with This Week in Fun. You and Martin are doing that every Friday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. And we're gonna see a lot more of Sarah at the Twit Cottage, I know.
I could not be more thrilled, Leo LaPorte.
So fun to work with you again. Thank you, Sarah Lane.
No problem.
We'll see you all next time on Net at Night.